bless you this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we're thankful for this opportunity. We ask, God, that you be with us in this service. Anoint us and guide us, Lord, and teach us, we pray. Have your will in this service, Lord, and may you receive all glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be having communion service next Sunday, so I wanted to say that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. We're having a baptism this morning, and so I felt led to speak on baptism, water baptism, and for this service, and the Lord help me. I want to make it very simplistic and easy to be understood, especially for the children, you know, and it's really what I've got in mind for the children. So let's begin reading Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. And he went out to Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized, Jerusalem, Judea, and all the regions round about Jordan were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now let's go on down to verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. You may be seated. The first recorded time in the Bible of anyone being baptized in water was in the ministry of John. As far as actually being recorded and using the word baptized. Of course, Brother Branham refers to when God brought Israel as a nation out of Egypt, and he brought them through the Red Sea, and he said that was God baptizing Israel. In Mark 16, if you'll turn with me, I've got several scriptures here. In Mark 16, turn with me to Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16. But John was baptizing unto repentance. He was baptizing unto the pointing to the coming of the Messiah. And the reason that Jesus came down to be baptized of John in the water was because that Jesus, he said, suffer it to be so that we fulfill all righteousness. It was because Jesus knew that he had been sent to be that sacrifice for sin. And in the Old Testament, whenever they went to bring the sacrifice for sin, which was the bull and that, when they would bring it to offer it a sacrifice for sin, they had to wash it. It had to be washed. And so that's actually what was taking place when Jesus came down to John. He knew he was the sacrifice, so it was becoming for him to be washed before he was offered for sacrifice. But then Jesus goes forth, and he commands here in Mark 16, verse 15, he said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So here is Jesus actually giving a commandment to his disciples and that would believe on him that they must be baptized. All right. Now, in you will find in John chapter 4, you will find that it refers to that there was more people being baptized in Jesus' ministry than had been baptized in John's ministry. Well, you see, John's ministry lasted only 6 months, and John was sent for one thing. He was sent to introduce Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to the world at that time, and his purpose was to wash the sacrifice. So now Jesus' disciples are going forth, and it says Jesus himself didn't actually physically baptize anyone, but his disciples baptized. But how did his disciples baptize? So as during Jesus' ministry of 3.5 years, his disciples were baptizing people that came and believed on Jesus. But they weren't baptizing with the same baptism that John was baptizing with. But Jesus gave command for them to baptize. Now, let's look and see how they were baptizing. Turn with me to Matthew 28, and we'll begin reading at verse 18. And this is Jesus again giving a commandment for those that would believe on him to be baptized. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus giving the commandment here, Jesus says, and we're going to come back to this scripture, but I want to go to another scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Jesus is saying, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, here you realize, as I said, his disciples, they had already been baptized. They were baptized during Jesus' ministry. And all those that came and believed on Jesus during his 3.5 years of ministry, they were baptized. Now, Jesus told them in Acts, you've been baptized with water, but I'm going to come and baptize you with my Spirit. And he told them to go tarry in a room until they were endued with power from on high. Once they received the Holy Ghost, they came forth from there. And then there was the multitude of people that were watching them come forth. And then those people, they wanted to know, what do we got to do to have what you got? You know, what do we got to do to be saved? So Peter speaks to him here in verse 38, and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for this promise is unto you and your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, bring you back up to verse 38. Peter tells them, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there are people that they refer to themselves as Trinitarians that baptize, they literally baptize, well, I'm baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, and they say, well, that's what Jesus said. And when you ask them, well, what about what Peter says here, you know, and realize now, these disciples had already been baptized. Peter and all of them that were in the upper room received the Holy Ghost, they had already been baptized during Jesus' ministry and had been baptizing in Jesus' presence others that came and believed on Jesus. So how were they baptizing then? And so Peter here says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When you ever you would speak to a Trinitarian and say, well, what about what Peter said? Usually what they'll answer you is, I'll take what Jesus says over what Peter says. Well, that's like saying you can pick and choose in the Bible what part of it you want to take and what part of it you want to throw away. You know, and if you're going to throw this away, then you might as well go to that page in your, they might as well go to that page in their Bible and rip it out then, because they don't believe it. They're saying, I'm not going to take what Peter said. But if Peter's saying that, and Peter had been baptizing people right during Jesus' ministry, how was Peter baptizing people? Well, let's go back and look at what Jesus said. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father. Well, I'm a father, but that ain't my name. And in the name of the Son. Well, I'm a son, but that ain't my name. And of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. I got a spirit, but that's not my name. My name is Jerry Lee Browning. That's what my name is. My name's not Father. God's name is not Father. He is our Heavenly Father. But Father is merely an office that he holds. He is our Heavenly Father. He came into a body of flesh that as the Son of God, so he was a son, but that wasn't what his name was. Of course, they said, you're the Son of God, those that believed on him, but that wasn't his name. And so the Father has to have a name. The Son has to have a name. His Spirit has to have a name. And that's what Jesus is saying. Baptize in the name of the Father. So what's the Father's name? Well, it's the same thing as the name of the Son. And when Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will come again unto you. Personal pronoun, I'm going to come again unto you. And then Jesus goes on to identify that him coming again unto them was not going to be in the flesh that he walked with them in, but he was going to come again unto them in spirit and baptize them with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Well, the Spirit has to have a name. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. There's one God. Hallelujah. So the disciples baptized in Jesus' name. Now, you know, there was many times people would, Trinitarians would question Brother Branham over baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, and of course, anytime they hear people, you know, Trinitarians hear people baptizing that way, then they want to identify them as being, oh, well, you're Jesus only. You know, because we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, I believe in all them too, but I believe all three are one. Because that, look, you try to go to a Jew and tell them that God is three people. They might not realize that God is actually Jesus Christ, but there ain't no way you're going to convince them that God's three people. They believe the Lord our God is one. And that's what it says in the Old Testament. So, you know, I'm not trying to be disparaging toward people who believe in baptizing that way, but what they're baptizing in is titles. Father is a title. It's an office. It's not a name. Son is an office that he held, a title. It's not a name. These are three ways in which God has expressed himself, but it's been the same God all down through it. God expressed himself in the Old Testament down through each of the prophets, but it was always the same God. When in the book of Revelations, when it talks about the voice of many waters, it's talking about the preachers of the gospel. But if you realize it says waters, and that waters represents the preachers, so it's plural. But it says the voice is singular. So it's the same voice of God that should be speaking and will be speaking through every actual God called God dedicated preacher. Now, all these preachers that don't fit that, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be other voices speaking through them. And you can identify that when the voice speaking through them doesn't actually identify with all of the Bible. If it tells anything different, then actually, you know, I don't care. You say, well, it lines up with this scripture. It's got to line up with all of them. And if it doesn't, then it's not the voice of God. Now, so Jesus, the disciples, they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, Brother Branham makes a statement, you can't find anywhere in the Bible that they baptized any other way, you know, after the Jesus' ministry began, you can't find where they baptized in any other name. They never baptized in titles. It never says that. But through the scriptures, you can actually go and find where it'll explicitly state they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, when Paul came to the Lord, he was baptized. Remember, Ananias went down and spoke to him, and Paul was baptized. Well, Paul went forth, and Paul, he came across some believers that, and when Paul came across these believers, he asked them if they had received the Holy Ghost since they believed. I remember Peter said, be baptized and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And remember, Jesus said, you've been told the disciples before they went in the upper room, you've been baptized in water. Now you're going to be baptized with my spirit. So Paul was asking them, have you received the Holy Ghost? And these believers said, we've never even heard about that. And so Jesus asked him, how are you baptized? I mean, not Jesus, but Paul asked him, how are you baptized? And they said, well, we were baptized into John's baptism. And so he said, well, look, John was baptizing unto repentance. John was baptizing pointing to the coming of the Messiah. But after the sacrifice, Jesus Christ was baptized or washed, and his ministry began, then you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So Paul commanded them to be baptized again and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And let's see. You can find that in Acts chapter 19 is where you will find that if you want to look it up. Acts chapter 19. Verses approximately 3-5, where Paul went down there, found these people, and told them to be baptized again in the name of Jesus Christ. And so then after they were baptized, they received the Holy Ghost. Now, remember Philip, this was after Jesus' crucifixion, and they had the disciples had received the Spirit of God, and that then there was a man, and the Bible calls him a eunuch. This man, he was reading the scriptures that they had at that time. And God sent Philip there, and Philip began to talk to him and said, do you understand what you read? And the man said, how can I unless some man actually teaches me about it? And so Philip began to teach to him the Word of God. And as Philip's teaching him to the Word of God and about the coming of the Messiah and Jesus Christ being the Messiah, and then he introduces to him about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the eunuch says, well, there's water right here. What's stopping me from being baptized right now? So Philip says, well, if you'll believe with all your heart. And he says, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so they let down off the chariot that they were on, and Philip baptized the eunuch. And of course, we know the scripture goes on to say that the Spirit of God actually caught Philip up, and he disappeared out of the sight of the eunuch. And, you know, and God set him down somewhere else. You know, so a supernatural happening that happened there. But what is the purpose of being baptized? Because you're being immersed in water. Well, there was two individuals that came to Jesus during his ministry, and I'm not going to go into a lot of the things of exactly why they came, but they came to ask him if one could sit on the right hand and one sit on the left hand, and that, and you know about that story. And so Jesus, he said to them, what did I do with it? Well, Jesus, here it is. It's in Mark chapter 10. Jesus said, you don't know what you ask. But then Jesus asked them a question. He said, can you drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Now, so what's the cup that Jesus is talking about? Can you drink of the cup with which I drink? Well, you go back to the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is praying. He knows his time has come to be offered up and crucified. And remember Jesus' prayer when he's praying? He says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. So what was the cup? The cup was actually taking on death. He was going to drink of this cup to take on death and die for the sins of man, of the world. And so, you know, then of course Jesus says, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And so at that point then, Jesus has actually, he had a death right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a spiritual death. Jesus died to this flesh. It was from his flesh where Jesus was saying, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if there's a way to get around me having to go to the cross and die, and I can actually stay here with my disciples, is what Brother Random said, that Jesus, his flesh, he wanted to stay with his disciples. But then he dies to that thing of the flesh, and that's when he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so Jesus surrenders to that and has that spiritual death to the flesh, which is what Jesus was talking to these two men when he said, can you drink of this cup? Can you die to your flesh? In other words, can you deny all the things that your flesh are wanting and the flesh is pulling you toward? Can you die to that? Can you be cut off from that? And then Jesus says, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? With this, Jesus was talking about his actual death, to die. And so then Jesus says to him, he said, you shall indeed drink of that cup, and you shall indeed be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. All right, now turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And this should explain what I was just going over there in Mark 10, what Jesus was saying to these two men. Now, in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Paul says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So here he's talking about those that are baptized in Jesus Christ. In other words, they're immersed in water, baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. He's saying, you're identifying with his baptism in his death. Therefore, he said, we are buried with him in baptism into death. So that's what, when we're baptizing someone, immerges them in the water, what we're doing is, it is an outward, it's in symbology, all right? But it's an outward showing that we are identifying with Jesus in his burial. We've identified with him in a death, because the first step to being baptized is repenting. And so you repent and give your life to Jesus, and then you go to be identified with him by, and being immersed in the water is actually a type or showing like as if you were being buried. But we do it in water because you're not only going to be identified with him in his death and burial, but you're going to be identified with him in his resurrection. Because Jesus Christ died, he was buried, but he rose from the dead. And so we're not just identifying with his death, we're not just identifying with being buried, but we're brought back up again out of the water, showing that we're identifying with him coming back forth from the grave. The baptizing in the water represents Jesus going into the grave, and that's us identifying us going into a grave, a watery grave, you know, and then we're being rose back up out of that watery grave. And it's all something that's, it's a symbol of something that is representing of what is happening to a person spiritually. That a person that identifies with Jesus' death, they're dying, they're actually cutting off from this flesh. They're going to deny themselves from this flesh. And then, so they're identifying with him in death. They're being buried in water. They're being rose back up. And it's actually representing that they're coming back up a new person, a new creature. The one that old nature and sinful man and woman of the world, that's what they're dying to. So they bury that old person that did the wrong, and they're being resurrected as a new person in Christ. And the reason that we have the baptism is because it is actually the believer who has accepted Jesus and saying, I'm going to serve Jesus. They're making a statement to all those that are witnessing that I have made this commitment to serve Jesus, and I am identifying with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. So it's making a proclamation, a statement. You know, you're showing those that are there to see you get baptized, you're showing them, this is what I'm doing. I'm making a commitment to serve Jesus. And so Paul goes on to say, therefore, verse 4, we who are buried with him by baptism in death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead from the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in the newness of life. So that's what Paul's saying. We're coming up a new creature. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, and the word planted there means buried, then we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. So as we are identifying by doing this, showing that we have done what Jesus did, then we're also going to do what he did by resurrecting. So it has a dual meaning. First, it's showing that we're identifying and we're coming forth a new creature, but also it's testifying that if I should go by death in this life, I have been identified with Jesus in his resurrection. Therefore, I cannot die no more than he could die, and I shall rise again during the resurrection and the rapture. Knowing this, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, meaning that, like I said, that old nature, the one that did all the bad things and that, it's been crucified with Jesus Christ. We're identifying with him being crucified, his death. By doing that, we're accepting that the reason that he died was for our salvation, for us to be forgiven of our sin. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if you be dead with Christ, we believe that ye shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you find here that Paul is, he says, we're being baptized into Jesus Christ. We're identifying with Jesus Christ. And we are living a new life in Jesus Christ. So you don't find where Paul says you're living a new life, you're being baptized in Father and Son and Holy Ghost. He said, Jesus Christ. That was, listen, Peter got the revelation of what Jesus was saying. Jesus saying that wasn't any different than Jesus in John chapter 6 when he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now remember, Jesus didn't explain that. And in that particular passage of scripture, actually John chapter 6, verse 66, it says, many left Jesus and didn't follow him anymore. Jesus didn't say, hold on before you leave me, I'm going to explain this. So Jesus would say things in a way that actually, that only, he said, it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and I reveal it unto babes. So Jesus then would reveal unto the believers, this is what I was saying. And remember, at that time, he didn't reveal it because he turns to Peter and said, he actually turns to the other disciples and said, will you go also? And Jesus didn't explain what he meant. Peter didn't know what he meant. Peter just said, where can we go? You're the only one that's got the words of life. We know who you are. We know whatever you say is the words of life, and we believe it. And then at the right proper time, Jesus would reveal unto them. And remember, many times Jesus would speak in parables, stories to make a point, but he wouldn't actually tell them what the story meant until after all the other people left and it was just his disciples there, those that believed on him. Then Jesus would tell them, this is what the story meant. So him saying, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and not really explaining it at that time, that was so Jesus. That was his way. You know, so it was revealed unto Peter and the other disciples, and that's then how they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that when they came out of the upper room and others was asking them, what have we got to do to be saved like you? Then they said, well, you got to do what we did. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter had that revelation of what Jesus was saying. And now Paul here is speaking and saying that this is why we go through this of actually immersing somebody in water, baptizing them, and bringing them up, is we're identifying that Jesus died. So we got to identify with him dying in order to accept why he died for us. Then we got to identify with his burial in his death, so that's why we're being put down under the water. And then we come back up out of the water, identifying with being resurrected. And what is actually taking place then, as you surrendered your life to Jesus, now he can actually work in your life. Now he can actually come. You've surrendered, which means, you know what surrender means? It means I'm not going to fight you. I give up. I'm not going to fight this anymore. I give up. You do with me whatever is your will. And so then Jesus can begin to work in your life and changing you into a new person that is completely different than the person that got buried in baptism. Because baptism, remember Peter said, for the remission of sin. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And what that means is, it means whatever sin you had committed, that sin is cut off because you identified that he died for those sins. So that sin is cut off. It's gone. It's never to be remembered again by God. Now, will you sin after that? Yes, because we're in this body of flesh that we got to contend with. Thank God when the day comes when we get the body change and we're delivered from this flesh. But that inside man, the real you, like you've heard me preach, this that you see out here and look and see in the mirror, that's not the real you. Because this, you know, even as children, every month or every year you look in the mirror, go back and look at pictures of yourself the year before, and you'll realize you look different. You changed. You got older, even as children. You're getting taller. You're getting older. Your features are, you know, your look is changing. Well, it ain't going to stop. It's going to keep doing that. And the reason it keeps doing that is because Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and in the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. So from the time you're born, you're actually through your life, as you know, David actually talks about it being like a flower. Moses talks about it being like the blades of grass that they come up for a season and then they're gone. And that's the way our life is, you know. And those of you that are older can think and realize, you know, I used to think when, like right now, summer for kids, you know, and many of them are out of school. And, of course, we did get a little bit longer out of school back when I was a kid than I guess they get now. But it seemed to me like as a kid, summer lasted so long. I'd get up early in the morning, and buddy, I went outside to play. And I stayed outside. I played even after it got dark. The day lasted a long time, and summer lasted a long time. But all you adults, look at yourself now. Where in the world did your childhood go? Some of you can actually already look and say, where in the world did 20 go? Some of you getting ready to say, where did 30 go? Of course, we got those that say, where did 40 go? Where did 50 go? And where did 60 go? And where did 70 go? You know, and it just, you know, and you keep changing and you're getting older, and you know, up to a certain age from childhood, as you're getting older, you maybe you think, well, I'm starting to get to, I'm getting looking pretty good. And then you hit about a mark of somewhere around 25 or so, and then from there it's all downhill. And then every year you look in the mirror, you're like, I got a new wrinkle. I got, you know, I used to have hair, you know, my eyes are bagging now, you know, and it, hey, look, you young adults, let me tell you, it keeps happening, you know, and it'll get to a point where you'll feel it before you even look in the mirror. But, you know, this is all pointing at, as we've identified with him in the resurrection, then we're raising as a new creature spiritually, a new person. Now, and Jesus is going to do a work in you, and your desires change. Because why? That old man, that old woman that has those desires, or the, should I say, the former or previous man or woman that was you, that you have actually died to that. You've buried it. And so then he begins to do a work in your life and things change in you. And that's why we don't preach, you know, look, to be saved, you got to quit this and quit that and quit this and quit that and dress this way, dress that way and do this and do that. We don't preach that. What we preach is believe on the Lord. Look, if you need to dress a certain way, you'll come to that. If you need to quit certain things, you'll do that. Why? Because there's been Jesus come in your life and he's beginning to change all that and take you away from all those things. And there are things that he, that, you know, you get freed from instantly, and there's other things that it just begins to, you gradually just lose the taste for it, desire for it, because why? Your desire becomes more and more about serving God. And I'll tell you this, friends, when we eat spiritually, we come into church, we're actually eating right now of his word. All right. Now, if you, in your natural life, think about some food that's like your most favorite food. You love the taste of it, you know. And when you sit down to eat and you begin to eat it, there's many times, and they really are down on us Americans for that, you know, and other places and that you think, I'm actually full, but man, that tastes so good. I think I want to eat a little more. Just because I like the way it tastes. And you know, you don't just eat once and then say, okay, I'm done. You like eating? You come back. You're going to come back and eat again. Well, that's the way it is with spiritually eating the Word of God. The more you eat of it, the more times you sit down and eat of it, it's going to get to a place where you start looking forward to coming and sitting back down at God's table in here and eating more of his word. And you were like, I can't wait for Thursday. I can't wait for Sunday. So I've got to eat his word right now. I'm going to read the Bible. I got to hear a message right now. And you thrive on it. And whereas before you gave your life to Jesus, you actually were eating of things of the world, spiritually speaking, thriving on those things. Those things, they don't have the same effect on you no more. Praise the Lord. Now, so Brother Branham says this and identified with Jesus. He said, how do we become identified with Jesus? First, you repent of what you already have done. You identify with him here in the pool. He's speaking about the baptistry that they had, the water. No doubt but what many have identified will identify with him in a few minutes. In the pool, we are identified with him in baptism. For if we are buried in Jesus Christ, we are identified to his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we are baptized. We go down into the water and we come up to witness that we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So us being baptized is us actually giving a testimony, making a statement, or actually putting what we would say actually into an action that more than just words, that we are identifying by doing this with his death, burial, and resurrection. And if we're planted in his likeness in his death, God gave us a promise that we'll be like him in the resurrection. So we're looking forward to that time to where we're freed from this body, like I said, that even from childhood just keeps changing and getting older, to a body that will never age. The real you that's inside, once you've accepted Jesus Christ, that comes alive. It can't die. This body will die if time tarries on, but you can't die. And if this body dies, then as we've taught, there is actually a body waiting for you to step into. And you go to the dimension of the saved to wait on the resurrection. And then in the resurrection, those that are alive here on earth, they will receive that body change. You will come back from the burial or the dead,
And you'll be resurrected in the same kind of body that those are changed into, because that's going to be the same body or the likeness that Jesus was resurrected in. Brother Branham says that whether a person dies as a child or they die as an old person, when they come back up in the resurrection, they come back up in a mature body that is about the age of 20 years old. It's not that that body's 20 years old, but it will have a look or a likeness of what a person would look like at that age. So you're not going to come back as an old person. You're not going to come back as a little child. Remember when Brother Branham went beyond the curtain when he had I guess it was like a dream, and he was walking, remember, and his wife had died, his baby had died, and he was just so taken with sadness over it, he didn't even feel like going on with life. And so here he is, and he's walking in this dream, and all of a sudden he sees this young lady, and she says, "Hello, Daddy." And now Brother Branham was just in his 20s at that time. And here was this young lady sitting there about looking about 20 years old. And he said, "I'm not old enough to be your daddy." And she said, "In life, I was your daughter. I was your baby. I was Sharon Rose." But said, "There's no babies here. We all are like this." So his little baby, Sharon Rose, she died as a baby there when he saw her. She was around about the age of 20. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, we identify with him in baptism. And when we do that, we're making a statement to everybody, you know, that witnesses, and we're actually making a statement when we go testify to people and tell them, "I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." We're making a public statement. We're saying something to everyone that I have given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for him. I want to accept Jesus into my life. I'm accepting him. Jesus died for me, died for my sin. Now I'm doing this to say that I am accepting what Jesus did for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for your word. Lord, we're thankful for this baptism service that you have for us, Lord. And God, any that's asked, dear God, to be baptized, Lord, and I pray, dear God, that you'll bless them, Lord, as we proceed with this next part of the service, dear God. I pray, Lord, continue to be with us, Lord, during the remainder part of this and during the baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.